Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
You know, I think we've all heard the term cabin fever before, especially when describing the year 2020. You know, being cooped up in one place for too long starts to wear you down. And if you add to that the division over the global response to the pandemic, the disagreement over who should meet and how people should meet, and then if that wasn't enough, add also the racial tension that we've seen erupting in cities around the world. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes all of it just gets very exhausting emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And so as we step into the summer, we're still trying to listen. We're still trying to learn and change, and many people are also trying to carve out a little bit of time to rest and to recover, to be with those that they love. Even though summer for many people looks very different than it has in years previous. You know, some people summer in the city, some summer in the country or in the mountains, but for the next 4 weeks as a church, we're going to summer in the Psalms. We're going to spend time in God's Word. And as we consider endurance during a turbulent season like the one that we're in, I believe it's very important to shepherd your own heart and to shepherd your family. And one of the best and most effective ways I know to do this is to turn to the Psalms. You know, over the years, I've personally found great strength and renewed energy as I've meditated during troubled times in the Psalms of Scripture. So I want to encourage you this month in the same way. Welcome to Calvary Church Online. For those of you that are joining us for the first time, we're so glad that you've joined us today. Whether you're joining us from home or maybe in a tent from your campsite on vacation with some Wi-Fi, wherever you are, we're glad that you're here. Maybe, just maybe, some of you are a part of our first Summer Sunday watch party here in the main auditorium. Yes, it's true. Welcome back to all of you. We're so glad to see some of your smiling faces that we haven't seen literally in 3 months. And so for those of you that don't know, starting this week, we're doing Summer Sunday watch services at 10:30 here at the church. And so if you're interested, we understand not everybody's ready to come back right now, but for those of you that are, we're allowed 50 people in the auditorium. And so we're taking registration online right now, so you can go to Calvary Connect or calvary.ca, and you can register today so that next Sunday you can join us here in church for a safe experience that you will enjoy worshiping with your friends and your family. And so I encourage you to jump online today. And if you need any more information, feel free to call the church office. Once again, registration for our Summer Sunday watch services is open now, so go online and check it out. Okay, pull out your Bibles if you would, and turn with me to the book of Psalms. We're going to start today looking at Psalm 119, verse 169. It says, "May my cry," or another translation talks about my prayer, "may my prayer come before you, Lord. Give me understanding." Another translation says, "Give me your wisdom, your revelation, according to your word." Then let's look also at Psalm 107, verse 43. It says, "Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things." And those things are his word that we just read about. "Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord." So today we begin a brand new Summer in the Psalms message series with episode one. And today we're going to specifically look at whoever is wise. Whoever is wise, the scripture tells us, needs to heed the word of God. You know, when I look back in my life at the wise guys, men and women, who have influenced and impacted my life the most, these were people who found themselves in God's word, people who heeded what those words said in their life. Those people have impacted and made a difference in the way that I live. You see, the Word of God is filled with amazing truth, all being delivered in a very memorable and meaningful way. So let me, as we start this series, give you some context for what we're going to be exploring together. Now, the book of Psalms is actually broken up into five major books, kind of like the five books of Moses or the Torah, right? Genesis through Deuteronomy. So around 400 to 500 years before Jesus, the leaders in Jerusalem gathered up all of these psalms. They compiled them together so that we could have these prayers or poems together in one place. Now, the word psalm actually comes from the Greek translation of the Old Testament for psalmos, which means song. So this collection of sacred poems or hymns or songs capture the essence of what the human experience is all about. From lamenting over the troubles that this world is going through, like we're going through today, to rejoicing in the goodness of God. This is a rich and colorful book that in the Bible causes us to know that we need to trust in God alone. And it helps really to reorient our heart and our mind and our life from the things of the world to the things of God. And that's exactly what was happening here. So as they were living in Babylon in the midst of Egypt, they had these psalms for worship, to refocus them on God, to recalibrate, to break them free from their thinking, from how the empire of the day worshiped things like sex and power and money and fame. These were all things that in that day people were striving for. Now, that doesn't sound much different from the day that we're living in today. But after all these years, you and I, we still need to remind ourselves of who God is in our lives in order to reorient how we think. See, that's what the book of Psalms is. It's 150 chapters of how we need to renew our minds, running our thoughts through that mental car wash so that we can be rid of the corrupt empire thinking that we have in our own society today. So the Psalms are a wonderful collection of songs and poems. It's an amazing presentation of really artistic truth, which I so appreciate. You know, the arts were created by God himself, and they have a way of moving us in a deep way. And so even today, whether it's a Broadway play or an amazing film, the artistic presentation of someone's story and to see that story communicated through theater, through dance, through music, something about it touches us in the very depths of who we are, and it stays with us. It transforms us. We remember it even more than just the written word. And so that's the power of this amazing book that we're looking at for this entire month. At some points, they're lamenting over the chaos of the world, but then they're moved to a place of possibility, where they know that it's only through God's ability to transform a man or a woman's heart that we will ever see lasting change. I love this book. The book of Psalms also reminds us about the true and lasting joy that's found through obedience. You see, there are a number of psalms of wisdom, each of them pointing out the difference between the path of righteousness that leads to life and then the path of wickedness that leads to death. So it's no accident that the book actually begins clearly establishing one of two of these ways. They set them before us. And Psalm 1 sets the tone by stating that true joy and wisdom is found in obedience. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 2 says, "How happy is the one whose delight is in the Lord's instruction. He meditates on it day and night." So no matter what we face, we need to root our thinking in God's word. That's where we need to be rooted. And if we're to find true joy in our relationships, in our families, in our business, in our church, and if we're to obey his word, we need to cultivate this obedience in our lives each and every day. You know, when the pandemic hit and the city was shutting down all around us and our church was confronted with some difficult decisions. The first thing we did as a leadership team was to begin to pray and ask God for wisdom. And when God spoke and gave us direction, we moved quickly into obedience, walking out the direction we feel he put before us. See, we all have decisions that we're going to need to make in our lives. And many of us are dealing with whether to make the right one. Is it the perfect one? Chances are you're going to make some mistakes along the way and learn because of it. Because not all those decisions are going to be perfect. But with his strength, we will remain faithful and we will remain obedient as we hear his voice and then walk it out in our day-to-day lives. I think all of you would agree that there's never been a time where we've needed God's wisdom and his discernment like the day that we're living in today. And the primary way that we get godly wisdom is by learning God's word. No one is born completely wise. We need to acquire wisdom from God if we're to stay on that wise road. Psalm 119, verse 98 through 100 says, "Your commands are always with me and make me wiser, wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes, and I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts." Now, this is not just saying that I understand all things more than those that are trying to teach me. What it's talking about is the difference between revelation and knowledge. There are many people that communicate the knowledge of Scripture that lack the revelation that's necessary to walk in the fullness of that truth. You know, the decisions we make today will determine the stories we tell. And all of those decisions are linked to our obedience. So we need to make our decisions. And then our decisions will actually make us. You know, my life has been filled with decisions. It's also been filled with counseling and leading other people to make decisions on their own. See, too many people, I think, these days make the mistake of approaching God like he's a genie in the bottle. That if we just rub the bottle and make a wish, that God will give us more power, more fame, more fortune. People go after sometimes all of the wrong things. Something that's interesting in Scripture is that when the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, in 1 Kings 3:5, he says, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." That's a pretty loaded question to ask Solomon. I wonder what you would answer if God appeared to you in a dream and said, "Ask whatever you want me to give you." Many people would go down a lot of different roads than the one that Solomon did, but Solomon's response, the Bible says, moved the heart of God. You see, his answer was simply, "Give me wisdom, give me discernment to govern the people." God's response in that case was, "Because you've asked me for this and you haven't asked for long life or wealth or death to your enemies, because you've asked me for this, I'm going to give you legendary wisdom." That's why people will say he's got the wisdom of Solomon, right? For it's legendary, passed down over the years. Not only that, God said, "Because you didn't ask me for those other things, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you wealth and honor and make you a king like no other." The book of Proverbs powerfully echoes this truth that Solomon demonstrates in his decision to ask God for wisdom as it relates to now what our pursuits in this life should be. Many of us want to get a lot of different things. I need to get this. I need to get that. And we feel that in getting that somehow we've made some type of accomplishment. But here's what the Scripture says in Proverbs 4, verse 7. "Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment." Now listen, whoever is wise knows how to do three very important things. So first thing is this. Whoever is wise knows how to walk. You see, who you walk with today will determine where you go tomorrow. Have you ever heard of the term guilty by association, right? It's the idea that an individual is guilty of a crime simply because of his association with the person who actually committed it. Now, I had a friend growing up, I won't mention his name in case he's watching today, but it seemed like trouble followed this guy wherever he went. It was amazing. He was like a chaos magnet. And on a couple of occasions, because I was walking with him, I was pulled into his vortex of stupidity, right? I got caught up in it at the same time. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Listen, I've been there. I've suffered some of that harm because of the companions that I had. If only I had known then what I know today. You see, it's almost impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. So who are you walking with today? Think about it. Who are you surrounding yourself? Because whoever is wise knows how to walk, and they know who to walk with. That doesn't mean that you can't reach those people that Christ died for. That doesn't mean that you can't show them the hope of Almighty God. It just means that if you follow a fool, that eventually you'll become one too. So be careful who is influencing you. Follow Christ and keep leading people to Him. Walk with the wise, what does the Bible say? And become wise. Psalm 37, verse 30 says, "The godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong." You know, I've learned to surround myself with godly counsel. Saves me so much grief in my life. To talk to and walk with people. Every pastor needs a pastor. Every person needs a pastor that they can go to and just pray with and share with and dialogue the things they're thinking before they make those decisions. Some of those decisions that cause a whole lot of pain would go so much different if you had run it by somebody that lives a godly life, that is walking in the steps that you want to walk in. Number two, whoever is wise knows how to ask. Don't suffer in ignorance because of pride. If you lack the knowledge you need in any area, ask for it. Whether that's in business, whether that's in marriage, finances, parenting, or spiritual growth, go to the people who are healthy in those areas and spend time with them. As a matter of fact, spend more time listening than you do speaking. Because if they're living it, they've gone through something, and you can learn from that. James 1, verse 5 says, if you need wisdom, so if you lack that wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. See, this is the very principle that for those of you that have children, that we teach our kids when they're growing up. If you need help, come and ask me. And yet when we become an adult, we forget. We stop asking for help. We sometimes start to feel like, you know what, I'm self-sufficient. I need to figure this out on my own. Listen, continue in your life to ask God for wisdom, to ask the people who are following in the steps that you want to follow when it comes to walking in His ordered steps. Become a master asker in your life. And then finally, number three, whoever is wise knows how to decide. They know how to decide. Too often we find ourselves trapped in this cycle of talk, 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 talk. We talk all about what we should do instead of actually making a decision and doing it. We need to understand that God gives you the wisdom to choose, make a decision. Sometimes you need to take a step of faith and trust that God will be there for you when you take that leap. And even when that decision sometimes leads to a mistake, learn from it. Learn from it so that you don't have to repeat it again. And finally, Psalm 32, verse 8, the Lord says, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." Listen to me. This is the most important part of this message. He can't guide you on the best pathway until you decide to walk on that pathway first. Today, you can walk, you can ask, you can decide. You can make a decision today to say yes to Jesus and follow Him. The greatest honor of my life is leading people to this moment. And so wherever you are, wherever you are watching our service, whether you're in the church, whether you're on vacation, whether you're in your living room, today is an opportunity for you to make a decision to follow Jesus, to not just talk about what you know you should do, but to use the wisdom God's given you to make that choice, to choose life, because he will guide you on that path once you step foot onto it, once you receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you'd say to me today, Pastor Steve, I need you to pray for me, then I want you in the chat to go ahead and click on pray for me. If you want to accept Jesus, click on raise your hand right now. And we would love to pray with you. This decision will change the trajectory of your life, where you can stop living by your own understanding and you can start living with the discernment and the wisdom that God gives to those who know him. If that's you today, would you pray this prayer with me? A very simple prayer, wherever you are. And if you've already prayed that prayer, then I pray today that you would pray with me now to recalibrate your thinking, to spend time in books like the Psalms, so that you can understand how to orient yourself to God as opposed to the society that we live in, to start thinking his thoughts, and to allow that to transform who you are. So first, let me pray for those of you that are saying yes to Jesus today. Would you make that decision now? If you would, click that hand and pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you did on Calvary's cross. I thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Come into my heart, be my Lord and be my Savior, and fill my life with hope and wisdom, so that I may tell of the great things that you're doing in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If that's you this morning, please let us know that you've made that decision in the chat. And we'd love to send you some resources to help you grow in your faith. Now let me pray for all of you that have said yes to Jesus, but you need to refocus, to recalibrate yourself, to walk in his wisdom. Father, touch every person who's listening today. I pray that you'd help them to be led by your wisdom and discernment, to love like you live, to live the life that you've called us to. I pray that you would encourage them in this season where sometimes we're feeling cooped up and exhausted. I pray that you would refresh them today in Jesus' name. As we summer in this wonderfully rich book of Psalms, I pray that it would just fill us full of joy as we walk in your obedience together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.